Amen.
Thank you so much. You should be glad you're not Brother Dan. I was singing the wrong words several times during that song, and so he's the one who's got to keep you on track, and I'm messing him up from behind. But you'd think they put it in big words right there on front of me. You'd think I'd stick with it. But my problem is I watched the words for a while, and then I think I got it from here. And that's, you know, it's about like a redneck from West Virginia. You know what the last words of a redneck from West Virginia is, right? Watch this. And it's all over. So, well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see each of you. It's so good to see Brother Joe Cherry and his wife Carla, and so wonderful to see them. But we really don't care about them. They brought their baby with them, and we're just glad they brought the little one. She's 6 months old, and I hadn't seen her yet, but we're so thankful, and hope you get to talk to Brother Joe and Miss Carla after service, and tell them you're certainly glad to have them here at church visiting with us tonight, and we thank God for them. Well, I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter. There's no handout. I asked Stephanie not to print one tonight. I just want to preach a message that the Lord seemed to give. And as I wrote it out today, I trust that that the Lord would get in it tonight. And so not a Bible study, just a message I'd like to preach. I believe that we certainly need. I want to encourage you. And then if it go from encouragement to get on to you, then so be it. All of us need a little of that too if the Word of God does it. But we need to understand these verses that we are exactly what the Word of God says we are. Look, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. The Bible says in verse 5 of 1 Peter 2, "Ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." Now, you remember this is reminiscent of some other verses in Scripture. But the others that don't believe on him, he's not. "But unto them which be in disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling." So if you combine verse number 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he's precious, but unto them which be disobedient," if you block out the next words, then you see, "and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." I want to preach for just a little while this evening about this, his own people, because the Scripture talks about us being that generation that's chosen, that priesthood that's royal, that nation that's holy, that people that's peculiar. We are his own people. Father, bless us now is our prayer. May you speak to every heart, dear Lord. May you embolden us tonight, dear Lord, to know who we are. Lord, we're nothing in ourselves, but because you've made us something, then we can rejoice in that tonight. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We see wonderful pictures here in these verses, and God reminds us of just who you are and who I am in Christ. Again, we're not special because of our own ability, but we're special because he loved us. And sometimes we as Christians, we get feeling so down and so far below where we ought to feel because we allow the devil, we allow our self-conscious, our inabilities to make us self-conscious. We allow ourselves to get feeling under the circumstances. But here the Word of God says we are special, not because of us, but because of who loves us. I read about the costume that from the original Superman back in 78 was sold here, 10, 15 years ago, for $115,000, just that suit, which was probably not that special except from where it came. If you ever watched The Wizard of Oz, I haven't, but the little red slippers that were in that sold for over $600,000 some years ago, the original slippers that were used in that film. Why would somebody pay that much? It certainly wasn't that they were valuable. It certainly wasn't that they, not because of how they were made. They weren't valuable because of what was in them. They weren't valuable because of the material or the workmanship. They were only valuable because of who had them on and where they held significance because of the movie or the film or wherever they came from. And I'm thinking about that in the way that we are. We're not valuable because we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We're not valuable because we finally made God a good return on his investment. You understand there's some songs that are sung oftentimes that it was, well, I'm so glad that God saw me worthy to come or send his son to die on the cross. We were never worthy. He sent his son out of love and out of sheer compassion for us that were unworthy and unlovely. But we are special because of who loves us. Now, I want you to look in verse number 5 and you see that at the beginning of it, you are also lively stones. That could easily be said to be living stones, living or lively stones. Ye are lively stones. You are caught into something, put into something that is alive. The Bible says in verse number 4, to whom coming as unto the living stone, that's Jesus, the chief cornerstone, as it talks about in Luke chapter 20, the stone which the builders rejected. You remember as a stone not made with hands. He's the cornerstone, as he told Peter that, you are Peter, a small stone. He was Christ, the stone upon this rock. He would build his church. And so we are the little lively or living stones. We are his people. I want you to look at three different things tonight to see this. Number one, in verse number 5, we see that you and I as Christians, if you're a blood-bought believer in this room tonight, you are a spiritual house. Look at verse number 5. You're lively stones, okay? We get that. And you're built up a spiritual house. The Bible says that God is building a living temple, meaning that you and I are part of that. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have as God's? As Jesus told Peter that he was going to put him in that lively stone, you and I are done the same way, and you and I are those little stones that God puts in. I get to stand up here on the pulpit and preach, and I get to lead some of the services, and Brother Dan gets to come up here and lead us in singing. And by the way, this past Sunday morning, I told him that my favorite part of the service on Sunday morning was at the very beginning when he had the choir sang, and then the auditorium, everybody in this room sang. It sounded like church ought to sound because we lifted it up in here. But so it's easy for Brother Dan. You can say, well, he's part of this church because he's up there on the platform and he's up there behind the pulpit, or you as the pastor. Yes, and that's true. We are part of this thing, but you know who else is part of it? The little girl that was cleaning some of the trash that you all left in some of the pew backs where the hymn books are back there. She's also part of this church. She's also part of that spiritual building, part of that spiritual house, as the Bible talks about. God is building a living temple, and I'm afraid sometimes that we act like we're just part of some dead, archaic something or another. But my friend, we are part of the church of the living God. You are a spiritual house, the Bible says. Not only that, but it goes on in verse number 5, it says, a holy priesthood. In verse number 9, it clarifies a little further and says, you're a royal priesthood. Holy priesthood, verse number 5. A royal priesthood, verse number 9. That means you're in a pretty elite group, not because you're something, but because God made us something. You know, it'd always be nice to be in a club when you're growing up. Not too many gangs in West Virginia. Maybe in Charleston, but not where we lived. Always wanted to be in a club. Always wanted to be in something. Didn't have a license when I was a kid, so I couldn't be in a motorcycle gang. But I did one time at a yard sale. I bought a green machine. Now, a green machine is like a big wheel, which I'd had when I was a kid, but on steroids. You know what a green machine is? It's got two wheels in the back, a big wheel up front, and then you kind of lean back in it and you pedal that front wheel. And instead of having handlebars like a regular big wheel does, it's got these two levers. Oh my goodness. I'm feeling cool just describing it. And not only was the green machine cool on its own, it had a fiberglass whip antenna with a red flag up at the top. At the same yard sale I bought this from, I also bought myself, because I was going to be doing some dangerous work, I also bought myself a helmet. that somebody had from somewhere. So in my $7 that I'd had combined here on these purchases, five for the big for the green machine, two for the helmet, I was ready to enter whatever motorcycle gang was going on that day. But I didn't find one. All of us want to be a part of a club. All of us want to be belonging. All of us want to be into something. That's we want to have identity. We want to have community. That's our big word nowadays. But I'm telling you, my friend, the Bible says that we are not only a spiritual house, but a royal or holy priesthood. And you and I are part of that because of what Christ did for you and what he did for me. This is better than the club that we could have joined as the Riders of the Sky. This is better than anything else you could have as a priest and as a holy priesthood. We can understand that we are part of something. You say, well, as a priest, what can I offer? As the Bible says, a holy priesthood or a royal priesthood, because the Bible says we are kings and priests, but what are we allowed to do? We are in this temple. We have the temple, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are priests. We are praying to the high priest, but we are a royal priesthood. We're in that order because of what Christ did. So what could I offer up? Let me give you just a couple of things, not from this text, but just a couple of things. Number one, we can give him praise. I'm a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ. I will not go to hell when I die. I'm on my way to heaven. As one preacher said, I'm just as sure as if I were already there. You could, as one old-timey preacher said, I could swing out over hell on a rotten rope, singing "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." We're saved. I will never have to pay for my sins because of what Jesus Christ has already done. I'm a born-again believer, and so are you if you're saved tonight. What can I offer him? I can offer him praise. The Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 3, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. You know what's wrong with some of the people in our club? We haven't thanked God for a long time for anything. We haven't been grateful. We haven't praised him. The word praise brings about that you are thanking God for what he has done. You say, well, I like to worship him. Worship specifically is worshiping him for who he is. Praising is praising him for what he's done. And so we, you and I, should be spending our time as these priests, a royal priesthood. We're in the club, man. We're in this secret. It's not a secret, but we're in the good group. We're in this royal priesthood, the holy priesthood, and we ought to offer up praises to our Lord. And some of us, we've got to break out of ourselves and break out of our stiffness and say, praise the Lord for what he's done. Not just as a byword when somebody says, oh, I got $50 from Aunt so-and-so for Christmas. Well, praise the Lord. Instead, make sure that we mean it. Say, praise the Lord for that. We can offer up praise. Now, you're not going to like this next one. We can offer up money. Somehow, we as Christian folks, we get lockjaw when it talks about money. There's nothing evil about money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, but there's certainly nothing wrong with having it. What all it is a way for us to show God that we want to be obedient. It's a way that I can honor God. It's a way that my family can say to God, I believe you can meet our needs with the 90% that we have left, more than the 100% you gave us to begin with. Since it's all yours, you command a 10 back. I believe it's a pretty good deal. But when we praise the Lord through our money, we're saying, Lord, I believe that I'd be better off without that part that's yours than I would be with it. And then some of you have gone so far as to say, I want to even dig down in the 90%. I want to get into some grace giving. I want to get into some missions giving. I want to give into some other things that are above and beyond. I'm saying that we can praise as we're royal priesthood. We don't have to shy away from that subject. There's nothing wrong about it. If you have it to give, fine. If you don't have it to give, fine too. I hope we never become a church where we justify, or not justify, but classify people by how much they give. God forbid. Because I want somebody who hadn't hardly have anything to give to feel just as welcome as the person who is the biggest giver in this church. And whoever the biggest giver in this church is, I wouldn't know it anyway. My friend, I'm just trying to tell you, though, whatever level you're giving, that's immaterial. But all of us ought to be givers. And as a royal priesthood, we can worship by that thing of money. We can worship not only by giving our praise, not only by giving our money, but then how about this one? We worship by giving ourselves. Oh, how we've fallen in this one. We have retreated back to where we think that we get to call the shots as far as what I do and what I don't do. We've treated ourselves like we decide what we do. But as I already mentioned to you, the Scripture says, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're not your own. You're bought with a price, the Bible says in another passage. And so really, whatever I do should only be done with the authorization from heaven. You saying, John, are you saying that everywhere I go ought to be glorifying to God? It's worse than that. You saying everything I buy ought to be glorifying to God? It's worse than that. You saying everything I say ought to be glorifying to God? It's worse than that. I'm saying whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If you can't wear it, you can't drink it, you can't say it, you can't go there, you can't do it, you can't not stay away from it, you can't do whatever and glorify God, then I suggest you change your ways. It's amazing. We dress, we act, we drink, we watch, we talk, we go exactly where we want to and what we want to do. And in the same, it is time for us to start offering up a clean version of us. Lord, I won't do anything unless it's okay with you. You say, well, I asked God, and he didn't strike me down, so I figured it was okay. I know we're going by, a lot of times we go by, on that old saying, that's easier to ask forgiveness than it is permission. But my friend, in this worshiping the Lord as this holy priesthood, yes, be giving praise, be offering money, that's good. Again, on that money part, it's not to earn favor with God. It's not to make God pat you on the head or pat you on the back. It's just to be obedient. But then offering yourself, it's time that we start offering a clean version of you. Isn't it a shame that we allow ourselves to do whatever we want? Do, say, go, with whom, wherever, whoever, whatever, and then after it all turns out into a mess, we say, Lord, you're going to have to do something about this. He will. You're never beyond his help. He's always with arms open. He's always there. But you would be better off if you'd had that attitude, and I would be better off if we'd had that attitude before the scenario started. My friend, you're a spiritual house, verse number 5. You're a holy priesthood, verse number 5. And then in verse number 9, as we make our way down through there, you're a holy nation. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And as Israel was the chosen nation, and they were scattered throughout, when this particular passage of Scripture was given by God through Peter, and it was given Israel, they were scattered out through the Roman Empire there. But they're written to, and they said, you're a holy nation. And now the church of the living God is scattered from here to there to everywhere. And COVID certainly has not helped that any. But as a message to those that are saved, I say that we are a holy nation because as the Israelites were God's chosen people and still are, now the church, though, is God's instrument to get his message out in this current day in which we live. We may be beaten down. We may be battered. We may be upset. We may be bothered. We may be lackadaisical, and we may be lukewarm. But I tell you tonight that we are a holy nation, that God has desired to use us to get his word to this world before it's eternally too late. A holy nation. A spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, and verse number 9, a peculiar people. A peculiar people. Now, lucky for us, that doesn't mean odd or weird. You say, he is peculiar. Yeah. A lot of times when people will tell about preachers, say, well, he's a strange one. I say, listen, he was weird before we ever got a hold of him. And sometimes they'll say that about some of your church members. Well, I know somebody goes to your church. He or she's a, wow, weird one. Say, listen, they were weird a long time ago. Don't blame everything on the Lord. They were going to be weird with or without him. So a weird person to get saved, guess what they are now? A saved weird person. Now, God can help you with anything, but some of those tendencies that you have, they're probably going to stick with you. So we see here that this peculiar people literally means we're his own people. He's called us out. We're peculiar. We are his. And that's a wonderful privilege. My friend, when God says about you that you and I are a peculiar people, that's not highlighting our oddities. Instead, that is bringing to light the fact that we are his own. I'd put my stamp on that boy. I'd put my stamp on that young lady right there. They are my own. They're peculiar. Don't mess with that one. Why do you think Satan had to come and ask God about Job? Because Job had a big off-limits sign. Satan couldn't do anything but what God said. Okay, you can. Why? Because he was his peculiar person. He was his own. And that's why it's important for us to realize that you and I, as peculiar people, we are the same, just like Job was. When Satan, the wicked one, comes and tries to attack, God may not author the things that are happening in our lives, but he has to okay it. Why? Because you're peculiar. You're his. And the Bible says we are that peculiar people. Now, I'm watching folks, and you are as well, run their lives and call the shots, not even acting like we are owned by God. It's the day and age which everybody wants to rebel. But my friend, we are supposed to be running everything by headquarters. Before you buy a house, you ought to check with headquarters. Before you buy a car, you ought to check with headquarters. And by the way, headquarters is not 197 Suncrest, because I don't know whether you should or not. I'm talking about headquarters. Before you get married, you ought to check with headquarters. Before you start a relationship, before you start a business, before you go into business with somebody else, before you start this or before you start that, you ought to check with headquarters, because we are that holy nation. We are that holy priesthood. We are that peculiar people. We're that one that's his own. And the Bible clearly shows case after case where people run headlong away from what God wants them to do. And we don't even have to go to the scriptures to find it, because you're watching people that you know running headlong away from everything that's good and everything that's godly and everything that they know to do. And they're saying, well, I prayed about it. Probably some of the two most misused phrases are, I've prayed about it and I've got peace about it. People have said, I've got peace about leaving this wife and going to go with the other one. People have said, I prayed about leaving my family and divorcing my spouse, because that way we could get along better and we could be better, those kids apart, than we ever could be together. We prayed about it. Listen, my friend, we can say anything, but it doesn't make it true. You and I are supposed to run everything, by the Lord. It's not within man that walketh to take his own steps, and that's not exactly how it goes, but you know what I'm talking about. You and I, we don't have it within us to go on autopilot. You might make it from here to work on autopilot. Sometimes you get to work and say, I remember how I got here. I've gotten home many times when I was a teenager working odd shifts and through the night, and I'd get out of the car and say, I don't remember a long passage of the road I came on. That's true. It's not wise, but that's happened. But you can't go on autopilot in your life. You're making too many big decisions. You've got too much riding on what's happening right now. My friend, you ought to remember that you are a holy nation, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, and a peculiar people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, and ye are not your own. I watched a presentation the other day of somebody who said, I used to be encumbered by the thoughts and by the teachings that said I was not my own. They were talking about Christianity. But now I realize that I'm such a beautiful person and I don't have to be shackled by being told what to do by God or by anybody else. And they said about themselves, I am deconstructing my faith, which is very popular right now. I am deconstructing my faith. Now, again, remember, just because we say something on the internet, on social media, or whatever, doesn't mean there's any stitch of truth to it. Anybody can put anything out there. But I'm telling you that you and I, according to scriptures, are supposed to live our lives as if we are not our own, because we're not. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Tonight, he called us out to be his own people. Lively stones, living stones. And may we live like those kind of people ought to live. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I ask you, dear Lord, to help us take inventory. Lord, we have been going where we wanted. We have been drinking what we wanted as Christians. We have been smoking what we wanted. We have been saying what we wanted. We've been watching what we want. We've been cussing as we want. We've been lying as we want. We've been doing all these things, and we have mistaken your long-suffering, graciousness for you being pleased with us. Lord, I pray that you would call us back to be a holy, peculiar people once again. In Jesus' name. As they begin to play, would you mind standing together with us? If God has spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. You may have somebody in your family, may have some adult child that's running headlong away from God. You may have somebody in your life that is doing anything but godliness, and you want to pray for them. Maybe it's you that you've been doing a lot of acting without consulting the Most High. Maybe we have mistaken, again, God's long-suffering aspect with his being pleased with what I'm doing. He hasn't struck me down, so therefore he must be okay with it. The Lord's mercies are long. What have you been involved in that you ought not be? My friend, I challenge you to get it right with God tonight. You can get it right here. You can get it right back there. Or you can get it right in either place and just walk out these doors and let God come and chase you. As they continue to play, would you do a favor for me and think about this? Have you been acting like that holy nation, that peculiar people? Or have you been acting like a worldly wannabe that if somebody didn't know any better, they'd just mistake you for some unsaved person that works in your office complex? Not enough difference on the outside between how you respond to a situation. You get mad and yell just like somebody else does. You use foul language just like somebody else does. Listen, Christian friend, I'm certainly not trying to get on to you. I don't know anybody's doing these things. But if we are, let's get it right with the Lord and remember there's some distinction in who we are. We're children of the King. We're the ones that the Lord saved us and bought us, adopted us into the family. We're living below our raising, people. We're living like people don't know any better, but we do. As they play one more verse, would you pray for us, pray for one another, pray that we would live in the God-honoring way that we ought to live. Lord, I pray that you have bolstered every one of our confidence in who we are. And Lord, better than that, whose we are. Lord, we're yours. We're children of the King, daughters and sons of the Most High. Lord, I pray that we would live as such. Lord, I pray that our actions would be different. I pray that our speech would be different. Lord, I pray that our activities would be different and our destinations, all of it, dear Lord. I pray that whatsoever we do all to your glory. Bless us now, I pray. Thank you for the time to be in your house, dear Lord. And bless the moments that we have together after this, the fellowship. And I pray that you would encourage that one that needs encouraged. And I pray that you'd all bring us back all Sunday, dear Lord. And use us between now and then for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. May look this way. Thank you for being in church tonight. It's a great crowd on a Wednesday night. And we're so thankful. We're about 10 minutes till 8, so I'm letting you out a little bit early. You're welcome. That's all right. Don't mention it. No. Well, unless you want to. I'm just joking about that. But we do have a little time, fellowship. If you'd rather slip on, we do try to be real careful. If you don't want to fellowship around because of just not wanting to be around folks, we understand. Thank you. But if you got time and you don't mind, then fellowship with some on your way out. And don't forget to say good hello to Brother Joe and Miss Carla back there. So good to have them here at Buffalo Ridge, and we're thankful for them. And then greet some other folks though you haven't talked to as well, and be praying one for another. Don't forget that service tomorrow for Brother Hoppy's sister is at 12:30 at Antioch Baptist Church, and we want you to be praying for that. Brother Daniel said that there's a bus workers meeting in the blue room right after the service. If you want to go down and meet Brother Daniel there, if you're in the bus ministry, then God bless you and thank you for being in there, and he'll meet with you in just a few moments. Thank you for being in church. God bless. You're dismissed. Thank you.